Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our 8:30 a.m. wake-up call. We are always excited to be here at 8:30 on Monday morning, and I know that we've got pretty good attendance on these calls, and I think it's just everybody kind of in the same direction that we're in. They're just focused on, you know, the things that are, you know, relevant and important to them on a Monday morning, and you know, it gets them kind of zeroed in on information that we're conveying. And for Sean and I, it's probably every bit as helpful for us as it is for you to be able to zero in to the things that we believe are relevant. So it's always a great opportunity. But guys, this morning I just want to talk about a couple things, and I'm going to kick it over to Sean. You know, as we kind of entered into 2020, I really had and was inspired by so many of the great goals. You know, some of you sent your goals to me, and I thought, man, that's pretty fantastic. You know, I mean, some of you did it, you know, late December, and some of you did it, you know, as we got into January. And so I've always been a personally big believer, and obviously I've shared this with you guys. I have my goals written down. I read them, you know, every morning and read them every night. So it affects my subconscious. You know, I literally, my habits or the things I do throughout the day are, in most cases, the habits that I have are contributed to the things that are, you know, are the goals I'm reading, right? And not everybody does this. I'm not saying that you have to do this if you're on the call and you haven't. That's fine. I'm just saying it's a habit that I picked up a long time ago, and it has really contributed to, you know, some of the things that have really worked out in my life. You know, whether, you know, and it's not just money. It can be, you know, personal relationships. You know, it can be, you know, what you're doing to, you know, take care of yourself physically, what you're doing to take care of yourself mentally. And the reality is that, you know, development or personal development is not something that just kind of, you know, sneaks up on you and, you know, catches you off guard or surprises you. It's intentional. And, you know, so when I know, you know, that many of you had your goals that are established for 2020, some of you had some really specific goals with respect to your physical conditioning. Some of you had a designated goal, and I'm just going through, you know, my emails to read a book, you know, every month. Some of you had a goal to read a book every week. And some of you had set some very specific goals with respect to your WB Arts business. And you know, what I'm an avid believer in doing is just check to see where you are, right? Just check to see where you're at. So if you had, as an example, you know, when I sit down with every person as they are, you know, they've listened to a Zoom call, they've tried the product, I've sampled them the product. Now, I just want a decision. Based upon the information you've given me, you said you really like the product. You know, let's go ahead and get you signed up as a preferred customer so that you can receive that product every month. Because, by the way, it doesn't do you any good if you just tried it and it works. You have to keep it in your system. I know you're aware of that, and we are agreed. So let's just sit down and let's, you know, give you an order that would be appropriate for you. And that's just, in the event that they say, well, you know, I'm not so sure, and, you know, I want to, you know, wait to see. No problem. You know, I just want you to be aware that this product only works if it's in your bloodstream, if it's in your system on a continuing basis, then it's going to really help you. Otherwise, it doesn't make any difference at all. So I'll just continue to remind you, and then I'll just do exactly that. I'll continue to remind them to, you know, place that order. Or I have some inventory here. You can buy this for now until you decide to become a preferred customer. I'm just going to expect them to buy. If it's someone that has designated to me as a brand partner, as some of you on the phone have, hey, I want to earn $50,000 of supplemental revenue from WBRX this year. Or I want to earn $100,000. Or I want to earn $150,000. By the way, all three of these numbers are examples of what I see in my email. No problem. Here's then what I've done is I've said, here's what you're going to have to do based upon our comp plan and based upon the product to generate $50,000 this year. And some of it's going to be, most of it in your first year is not going to be residual. It's going to be based upon your own efforts. The great news is year two, you can probably expect the same amount of income that you produced in year one, except that it will be residual in nature. Now, there is a difference, right? So when somebody asks me, why would they make a decision to get involved in this business and do what's required economically? Well, it's very simple. My story is always the same. In my first year, I earned $130,000 in revenue in 1992. But in my second year, I earned just about $280,000. But of the $280,000, I would say about $140,000 was residual based upon the foundation of what was established in year one. Now, I'm not telling you that it's going to happen this way for everybody. I'm saying if you lay the foundation correctly, if you help people get started correctly so that they have the support that they need, then you're going to find that those seeds that you plant will take root and they will grow if you plant the seeds correctly. Now, there are always going to be a percentage of people that will quit when they start the business. I tell people the statistics are really relevant to our comp plan as they are throughout the industry. Look, of every 20 people that you personally sponsor, about 3 to 4 of those people are going to quit. And I let people know that, you know, when we do our trainings up front, I'm not trying to discourage them. I want to set them up for success by giving them a realistic expectation. And we don't, is it going to be the statistic for every single person? Absolutely not. But here's what you do need to know. I mean, those people that are going to quit not because of you. It has nothing to do with you. They may have had something that was going on in life that just took them off and distracted them. Or they may have said, well, I was excited when I got involved, but I've decided not to do it. Now, it can be any number of reasons. I can give you a list of excuses that's so long, and it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, that has nothing to do with you. If you bring them into the business correctly, letting them know the expectations that are going to be required of them in terms of what they're going to have to do, during the course of every day of every week, right? How many hours a week are you going to have to apply to developing this business on a part-time basis? You know, how much money, the first question is, how much money do you want to earn, okay, monthly? How many hours a week are you able to commit to that effort? And then, it's just a function of over what period of time. Are you willing to commit to this plan for the next 6 months or the next year? I mean, how many months would you give me to help you accomplish that goal? Because if someone says to me, Barry, I want to earn $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 and I'm willing to commit, 10 to 12 to 15 hours a week, and I sit down with them and I make sure that those are 10 to 12 to 15 hours of focused time of, doing the things that we know work, like making sure that you establish a certain amount of people that you're contacting during the course of that 10 to 15 hours, a certain amount of people that you're promoting into the event venue that we have, then you're going to have a ratio that's going to appear. And that ratio is relatively consistent, but it's just a function of business and numbers. Okay, now, I'm not suggesting that people are numbers. I'm suggesting that factually, of the first 20 people that you sponsor, 3 to 4 will quit, but another 3 to 4, okay, they're going to probably incubate. That means they'll probably be kind of using the product, and they'll love to come to your meetings. Man, that Sean Baker, he's so awesome. I love to hear him talk. Or on and on and on and on, but they just don't do anything. They love to be loved on. I think some of us are great at loving on people, which is fantastic. But the accountability factor, doesn't necessarily resonate with that group of people, and they just kind of hang out, And it's the same way in anything. Some people, continue to come to church. They don't not come to church, but they don't necessarily bring anybody. So the same thing is relevant and true of that second group of 3 to 4 people. They'll just incubate like a baby that's in an incubator. They just kind of get into a place where they're getting what they need, but they're not able to really contribute to building their own business inside of your business. So you've got 3 to 4 people to quit, you got 3 to 4 people to incubate, but then you have another 3 to 4 of those 20 that will build. Okay, they'll create duplication. They'll actually go out and they'll sample people, and they'll actually have people that raise their hand and say, I've got 5 to 7 to 10 hours a week, or whatever the number is. I'd like to earn an extra $1,000. I mean, you'd be shocked at how many people an extra $1,000 a month would completely reroute and change their lives. It's the difference between where they're living, where they like to live, or what they're driving, what they like to drive. It's amazing. But once that occurs, once somebody experiences that, and they're in that 3 to 4 group that build, you'll find a group of people that take this thing to a different level. And of every 20 people that you sponsor, 3 to 4 will quit, 3 to 4 will incubate, 3 to 4 will build, but 1 to 2 will flat out kill it. They'll go surprise everybody. Here is the secret, though, to everything I'm sharing with you right now. It's how quickly a person will take on the responsibility to actually sponsor 20 people. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, there are always people that most of us within Wellness Biosciences have never been a professional networker before, but we've got a lot of professional business people. And the skill set required to do what most of you have been asked to do in your business life are far more challenging than this business. So it's sometimes hard to believe that you can generate the type of revenue that you can generate here doing simple things over and over and over. But it's a fact, right? So when you look at that, you go, okay, well, what would be required for me to generate the revenue that I would really like to generate? What is it that's asked of me? Well, how many times are you going to do the 6-step program? How many times are you willing to apply what's required to do the 6-step program over the course of X amount of time? Okay, if you're going to do X amount of, if you're going to create a habit of doing it every day, then you're going to probably have a much better result at the end of the month than someone that does it, let's say, 2 to 3 days a week. Okay? It's not complicated. It's very simple, actually. And the fact that it's so simple sometimes gets us, thinking, well, there's got to be more to this thing. No, there's not very much to it. It's how many people you expose to the product, how many people of the people that you expose to the product and expose to the opportunity through third-party verification through events, and then ultimately they make a decision to join up, to team up with you to go out and build a business. So if you've got people that are in the hopper, if you will, or in the queue, to go out and build the business, you just need to collect decisions. That's all it is. It's nothing more than you collecting a decision. And a decision, no, at least it's a decision. Decision, yes, is a decision, right? So what you want to try and do is get people to at least enough exposures where they can make a good informed decision for them. And you should really feel confident, in my personal opinion, about, frankly, people's evaluation. If they don't feel confident about how they're going to respond to evaluating something on their own, they're probably not what you're looking for. Okay, so my encouragement to you is, as you go out to, track yourself and your goals in any area of your life, just ask yourself a question. How am I doing? What's my progress like right now? Today it's, February the 10th, right? Where am I at in my process of the goals that I established for myself? Where am I having results? Am I getting myself to the point where, I'm doing what's needed to accomplish what I need to accomplish? Now, we know, let's say, for example, if you set out a goal to earn $50,000 in 2020, okay, just speaking to a few people. Well, if you didn't do what was required in January, what you are able to do is to make up for lost time and double down and create the activity required in February, because most of the people that I've seen that get involved in our business, that go out and have great success, they'll tend to have a crescendo effect that will take place over the course of the year. And on any given month, no different than us in this company, you're going to have people that will emerge that you never even knew, but they came from somebody that you personally sponsored, then personally sponsored somebody else, and then somebody in the genealogy starts to, they come to show you, hey, I want to take this thing seriously, but you never knew them before you got started. And then from that person down, you start building and developing a successful business. No different than, you know, my partner, Sean, right? I had a guy that got involved. You know, he was frontline, we had a frontline guy and a guy by the name of Brian McLaurin who accepted an ad, got involved directly with him. And then below Brian McLaurin, his friend was John Holt. And then John Holt brought Sean Baker. Okay, so those people, Brian McLaurin and John Holt, really never did anything. I mean, except that they did what they, at least they brought us. They were kind of that 3 to 4 that brought us at least one. They built, right? Hey, Brian McLaurin did us a great favor. He brought John Holt. That's okay. So John Holt then brought Sean Baker. So if you're just like mining for gold and you understand the business is not based upon a personal transaction, it's not just based upon the people who you sponsor. When we say sponsoring 20 people, a ratio will appear of the people whom you sponsor down below those people. There's going to be gold somewhere. Okay. And when you really understand that the nature of the business is not you personally having to go out and sponsor people for the rest of your career, but if you sponsor 20 people, now you can take a year to sponsor 20 people, okay? And a lot of people that get involved in network marketing, and they're, you know, and this is not a negative connotation, but let's say they're amateurs and they've never, you know, looked at this as a profession, they'll typically do that. They'll take maybe a year, you know, or two. But professionals understand that they're not joining a business, they're launching a company. And they'll sponsor 20 people within 90 days. And when they sponsor 20 people within 90 days, they create an unusual crescendo of what we call momentum, the big mo. We talk about the different levels of leadership. You get that third level leadership where now you're leading through productivity. When you start leading through productivity, people look around, they start seeing the results. And most people, frankly, operate in life on the basis of what they can see physically, not what they can see with their spiritual or their mental eye. Most people don't walk around with the capacity to operate exclusively through their vision. Most people operate on the basis of what they can see, feel, and touch. That's why people that get involved in network marketing market themselves by wearing appropriate or nice clothing, or they try to, you know, drive a nice car. It can be for their own ego or their own self-interest, but if you look at professionals, they do it because most people behave in a manner that's commensurate with what they can see. So when they see somebody pull up, for example, if I see Sean Baker pull up, and I'm not telling you this is right or wrong, I'm just telling you the fact, right? If they pull up in an S-Class Mercedes, which, you know, that's our company car, but why is that our company car? Are we just kind of all flash and sizzle? No. It's because when he pulls up to go to a meeting, he's going to probably get a different sense of reception from the person or the prospect or the group of people than he would if he pulled up in a Volkswagen, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with Volkswagens, and I could care less if someone pulls up in a Volkswagen because it's the heart of the person. But most people, through their own instinct and their own human behavior, which is what we're dealing with. You know, we talk about people in this business, and we talk about the sociological profile. You're in the people business. Sometimes people get involved in network marketing, they think they're in the product business. No, they're in the people business. It's all about understanding themselves and understanding other people. And I firmly believe you have to believe dramatically in the product. And we certainly do. You have to believe that product is going to really help people. But the reality is, guys, you're in the people business. So when you get involved in the people business, it's behavior. It's looking at what people do. And we know statistically in the United States that most people genuinely need an opportunity. They do. They're walking around every day. They may not be walking around waving their flag and saying, I need an opportunity. Come talk to me. That's not what you're going to expect. But the reality is when I can go out with a sense of confidence and belief, when I know statistically that 56% of all the people in this country earn $26,000 a year or less. Those are not my statistics. Those are Internal Revenue Service statistics. 10% of all the working people earn $50,000 a year. and 3% earn $100,000 a year, only 1% earns $195,000 a year more. Now, what does that say to me? Frankly, I can go out with a level of confidence to speak to people about a business opportunity because I know that most people need it. Okay, if I have an opportunity for people to supplement their revenue by earning an extra $50,000 a year, okay, by working 10 hours a week, 15 hours a week, and I know that's true, then and only 10% of the people that drive up and down the freeways here in Houston or any big cities earn that working 40 to 50 hours a week. I know people need an opportunity, but have they been exposed to what's required to build and develop a business that creates that type of supplemental income? Absolutely not. Not at all. So do you know, and this is statistically, and I read this just the other day, do you know the majority of the people in this country that file for bankruptcy, do you know how upside down they are a month? By somewhere between $300 to $500. There's a $300 to $500 amount of revenue that if they had that on a monthly basis would have prevented them from filing for bankruptcy. But because they incrementally over time were spending about $300 to $500 more, not $3,000 to $5,000 more, $300 to $500 more a month is the majority of the people in this country that file for bankruptcy. Well, the reason for that is that no one came along and shared with them an opportunity where they could earn $300 to $500 more a month, or they didn't accept an opportunity or believe that an opportunity was possible for them. Right. So, guys, I just want to encourage you, man, go back and look at the goals. If you established a set of goals for yourself in 2020, hey, just check. How are you doing? How are you doing in what you set out for yourself? If you didn't set anything out for yourself, none of this applies anyway. But if you set something out for yourself and you said, hey, this is what I want to accomplish, where are you at? Maybe you're right on track. But at least check. You got to check, because one of the things that people don't recognize sometimes, if you continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that's not good, right? Some people call that the definition of what we know to be insanity, right? And I'm not suggesting that anybody's insane. I'm just saying make sure that you get very clear with what you want to accomplish, right? And then define that goal and then make sure that you're checking to see if you're on track. After about 6 weeks, usually every 6 weeks, if your game plan is not working, is not progressing you in the manner with which you would like to, you have to go back and you have to do one of two things. Either you've got to revisit your plan or revisit the goal, right? If you're not prepared to execute or change the plan, then you better change the goal. So if your goal was to earn $50,000 a year, but you're not willing to change the plan and you're not getting results, okay, my recommendation is you need to lower that goal. You need to change it drastically so that you're not in the mindset of why am I not earning $50,000 a year? No, you're not earning $50,000 a year because you're not going to earn $50,000 a year if you continue to execute the same plan that's not working. If you want to change the plan to get the outcome, hey, now we're talking, okay? But if you're not prepared to change the plan, then don't expect a different outcome. So I just want to tell you guys, look, I'm a big believer in being very optimistic in my belief, knowing that anything can happen at any particular time, but there are certain things that are required of me, right? Certain things that we all have to accept that we have to take upon ourselves as our own responsibility. If I'm not doing what's required on a consistent enough basis, I'm probably not going to get the outcome of the results I'm looking for. And we all have that you know, in common, right? So as I look at my goals and I see the things that I have set out for myself in 2020, I'm continuing to reevaluate my approach. I will not stay into the mindset of I'm definitely going to stay focused on the goal regardless. If my outcome is not, if my daily, my weekly, and my monthly outcome is not what I want it to be, I've got to go back and revisit my plan. And I want to encourage all of you, hey, if you're not getting the outcome in any area of your life, particularly in your business, if you're not getting the outcome, then go back and revisit the plan. We're here to help you. We'll be glad to sit down and just have candid conversations Because at the end of the day, guys, when you're building a business like this, like any other business, we all need barometers of accountability. We all need that, okay? I'm a barometer of accountability for my partner, Sean. He's one for me. It's not about what I think or what he thinks. It's about the results. It's all about the results. So if we can't depend upon one another to be honest and transparent with each other based upon the results expected, then what can we depend on? So that's our common denominator. And the results that we have, guys, are based upon the results that you have. So what we want to do is help you go from where you are to where you'd like to be in the business. So this becomes a business for you. It's real. You're here Monday morning. We have about, 24 people on the call right now. You're here Monday morning. You don't have to be here. You choose to be here to get as much information as you possibly can. I want to encourage you. As you go through your week, I want you just to track, am I where I should be right now as I started out in 2020? If not, what am I going to do to change my outcome? What am I going to do today? Because it all starts, you know what? The outcome that we're looking for doesn't take place right away, but the direction that you are headed in can take place instantaneously. And once you move in the right direction, I promise you, eventually you'll get to the destination. It's just about being directed appropriately and making sure you have a plan of action, a set of habits, a set of outcomes that you look for on a daily basis to accomplish that. So with that, guys, I just want to say, look, for me, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to get on these calls and walk through information that, you know, as I'm speaking to you, I'm reminding myself of things I know are relevant and important. So I appreciate the time, guys. Thank you for being here. I'm going to turn the call over to my partner, Sean Baker. Man, Sean, I'm so excited about everything that we've got going on. Excited about, just excited about the things that we've laid into our forecast and about the folks here that are really going to help us get to that place. So with that, I'm going to turn the call over to you. Brother, go ahead and take it away.
Hey, great job, Barry. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me on the call. Pardon the frogginess again. Every couple of Mondays, I just wake up with my Johnny Cash voice. But if you'll bear with me, I'll get through this. And I just want to share and piggyback on some of the things that Barry said. Because, you know, as Barry mentioned, some people will join the business and not really know what they want to do. And they'll quit. And others will get involved and have some results and stick around a while. And then you're going to have a group of folks like me. I'll be very transparent with you guys. You know, when I was about 25 or 26 when I met Barry, and you know my situation. I won't tell you all my enterprise story again, but many of you don't know how I acquired the debt that brought me to evaluate an opportunity to begin with. And what it was is we had a hailstorm, and I had to put the deductible for my roof claim because I didn't have $1,000 in a checking or in a savings account or in a mayonnaise jar. I didn't have an extra $1,000, which is sad for a guy making 150 grand a year, but it was my situation. So I had to put $1,000 on a credit card to pay for my deductible on my roof claim. And then about that time, my son was at a birthday party. He was 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. He was at a birthday party. And they call it the 8-year-old break, I believe is what they call it. But he fell skating, roller skating, and broke his arm. And it was an $8,800 bill to his mom and I. She didn't work and two kids in private school. So there again, I mean, overnight, two little life circumstances, we'll call it. I had $9,800 in credit card debt overnight. And I was the guy Barry's talking about. I didn't know where I was going to get that extra $300-$500 a month to pay that credit card minimum, by the way, just to pay the minimum balance on that, 22% credit card. So I was a guy that when I came and I made my decision to get involved, and this is just the God's honest truth, I planned on making $10,000, however I was going to do it, and then quitting. I had a great corporate job with a Fortune 200 privately held $19 billion a year company. I wasn't going to throw away a career to play in the network marketing game, but I needed $10,000 that my job wasn't going to give me for another decade. And think about, and I'm going to use some pretty harsh terms on myself, but think about the brainwashing that goes around that. I'm going to do network marketing to make some quick big money, but I'm going to stay loyal to the job that basically has prevented me from having any extra money. I mean, what sense does that make at all? And they always say the old joke, Randy Travis says hindsight's 20/20. I didn't know what I didn't know. I was young and I was ingrained in corporate America and I was blind to the actual financial facts of my situation. So what happened though is I made, $8,000 or $7,800 in my first month, and I thought, my God, that was easy. Like that was natural. It fit for me. Because I was teachable. Barry said, do A, B, and C, and I did A, B, and C as well as I possibly could. Not saying I was perfect, not saying I did it better than anybody else. I just put my best foot forward, and boom, I got paid. The next month, not so great. The third month, boom, I got paid again. So over a 90-day period, I had earned somewhere in the ballpark of $16,000 or $17,000, when in my second month, I actually threw up a darn near a goose egg. Because I quit doing the things like sampling and three-way calls that made my first month productive. So a good first month, a bad second month, a good third month. And to be honest, I was hooked. As a guy that planned on getting involved, making some quick cash, and then getting out of the business, there was no way I could leave the business. I had made more in a quarter than I would have at my job in 4 or 5 months in a fraction, a minuscule amount of time by comparison. So I just want to share that with you because you're going to, as you pardon the term, but as you kick over rocks or flip over rocks, you really don't know what's underneath it. And then I was a guy that if you asked me, are you a career guy? I said, no, I'm going to make 10 grand and get the heck out of here. And I made over $1 million. I didn't know that was coming. My sponsor assuredly didn't know it was coming. Barry, who is a great read of people, I promise you he didn't know it was coming. Now, I also know enough about Barry to know he never counted me out. He never doubted the possibility, but I wouldn't say that he looked at me and said, yeah, this guy's going to be a $1 million earner in the network marketing industry. I don't know, and so I just share all that with you because as Barry also mentioned, we are in the people business. I thought we were in the product business. I thought we were in the six-step marketing business, but we're not. We're in the people business. And it's funny because I was watching a documentary this weekend, one of those, 2 o'clock in the morning, can't sleep, flip on the TV. And it was funny because it was talking about the science of medicine, but then it was also talking about the art of medicine. And it's funny because I'm not saying I came up with that quote, but I've been saying that in meetings for years, how much I respect healthcare providers, how much I respect physicians, and how they're, when you lay your hands on someone and your attempt is to heal them, that there's as much an art as there is a science to that. And so I would just tell you it was funny because they were talking about the mental aspect of the patient. When someone gets cancer, how important it is that they have a strong support system and how important it is that they're emotionally strong. And it made me think, I thought every time you go to the doctor, you get lab work as an example, or they've got x-rays as an example. They can see what's going on with you, but what do they ask you? Mr. Koshu, how are you feeling today? Right? They may know you've got a fever. They may know your cholesterol is elevated, your blood pressure is high, but they ask you, how are you feeling? And it just hit me like a ton of bricks that the harsh reality of our business is we're in the emotional management business. We're in the business of navigating people's feelings, their fears, or synonyms for fear, right? No one really likes the word fear, especially alphas. I would say the majority of the people on this phone call are alphas. I know Erin Sinise's on the call, and she would argue with me that she's definitely not an alpha, and to please stop handing her the microphone, which I'm not going to do because she does a wonderful job. But for the by and large, I would say that most of us on the call are alpha males or alpha females or alpha personalities, and we don't like the word fear. We're not scared of anything. But if you listen to our speech, we are. We are, and it prevents us from putting our best foot forward. Now, I'm not here to say anyone is doing the business wrong. That's not my job, and I don't know that I'm even capable of saying, hey, you're doing that wrong. But I would say, without pointing my finger at anybody, that I have learned through my career, and I would stand pretty firmly in this and go toe-to-toe with anyone that would want to argue, that there is always a good, better, best scenario. So let me repeat that. I want to be going from good to better and better to best. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not calling anybody out for doing anything, air quotes, wrong, or air quotes, dumb questions, because they're not dumb questions, but you do have to be a student, a sociological student, and understand the minds of people and listen to fear speak. So while they may not say, I am scared of blank, they will say to you, well, I didn't sample my prospect before the dinner because I was worried, ding, 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 I was worried they wouldn't show up. Well, I'm of the opinion it's good if they come to the dinner. It's better if they come to the dinner having already been sampled, and it's best having them come to the dinner, having them been sampled, and the expectation that they're going to purchase a product because you sampled them properly at the dinner. Now, let me tell you why that's so important. Knowing your goals is critical. Most people think, well, I don't want to set a goal because I don't want to be accountable. I don't want to get behind. Okay, again, fear. I don't want to set a goal because I don't want to fail. I don't want to not achieve my goal. We don't say that, but we say that. No one wants to be rejected. I was just talking to Megan this morning, and I'm not a Bible thumper, but I do believe I try to remember as much scripture as I can. I try to read every day, and Michael Vandiver, God bless him, sends us scriptures, several times a week, if not every day, very faithful and very committed. And I don't know where I saw it or heard it, or maybe it just came to me recently, but I believe it was Paul was talking about, I haven't figured it all out yet, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but Paul says, I haven't figured it all out yet, but I do know one thing, and I share this with you, brothers and sisters. Yesterday is yesterday, is unchangeable, but tomorrow is tomorrow, and I lean to tomorrow. I look to tomorrow. I follow God to tomorrow. And so I would just tell you, Megan and I were talking about something totally different, but that plays here, because if you didn't sample someone yesterday, that's yesterday. Today's today. If they miss the Monday morning call today, we have another one next Monday. Always be leaning forward. Always be moving in the direction of where you want to go, not where you've been. And listen to your people talk to you about fears or about acknowledging challenges or worries or the different synonyms that we give it. But the reason I think that it's imperative that you set goals and that you don't view those goals with a negative mindset, or you don't view those goals as something that you are going to miss out on or fail or be held accountable to. And I know many of you know that I'm running, and so I want to share this with you. I'm not running well, or in my mind's eye, right? I was in the Army for 4 years. I served in Iraq. I was in top physical condition. I'm now 43 years old, and I'm out of shape, and I'm getting back into it. Well, back to being an alpha, back to being an overachiever. And that I will point at some of you guys on the phone, because I think it's hilarious how much we're alike. And so I love that you are hard on yourself and drive and push yourself. But please don't make the mistake that I made. I was talking to my running coach just last night, as a matter of fact, and he said, why are you upset? And I said, I'm upset because I ran 3 miles, and I had to walk. After mile two, I had to walk for about 10 feet. And then after coming up at the end of the mile three, I had to walk for about 5 feet. And I just want to run 3 miles without walking any, even though it was only 15 feet out of 15,000 some odd. I forget what's in 3 miles, but out of 16,000 feet, I walked 15 feet. But I don't want to walk. And he said to me, he said, Sean, you're 2 weeks into this training process. The goal was to run 2.46 miles in 3 minutes. You ran 2.93. You ran 1 mile at 11 minute and 10 second pace, and your second mile was 8 minutes and 14. That's why you had to walk, dummy. You ran way too fast for the time and the distance. So the goal actually helped alleviate some burden that I was carrying. It helped him reflecting and saying, you beat the distance goal, you beat the time goal, like you beat everything today's training was designed for, and so what? You walked 15 feet. And it got me refocused, and that's the point I want to share with you, is knowing your goals can help you get focused and refocused when you need it. It can help you kick your own butt, if that be the case, Or it can help someone like Barry, myself, or one of your peers say, hey, time out. Time out. You're being an alpha. You're being hard on yourself. You exceeded goal. Suddenly, in the month of December, she, the goal contest was $10,000. She was going to sponsor five people, and she was going to win the contest. Well, she sponsored six, and she was disappointed because she's an alpha, and she thought she was going to sponsor eight. She needed five. She got six. We handed her $10,000, and she was still a little bit disappointed. Now, God bless her for that, and God bless people like that. But I just want to take a stand for us alphas and say, kick your butt when you need to. Pat yourself on the back when you need to. Be your own drill sergeant when you need to. And for God's sakes, be your own cheerleader when you need to. Call us. Let us remind you. Let us guide you. Let us help you. Because all of us in community, we need that. But I would encourage you, always be thinking good, better, best. Striving for the best, knowing that good is good and better is better, but always striving to do your best. And so I would just tell you, in our business, there are some clear indicators, and I'm going to take a moment, and I'm not trying to be in lecture mode, but guys, you're coming to these dinners, which we are happy to host. We're happy to host. And whether it's you or whether it's someone in your organization who's new, who needs guidance, by the way, and needs direction, by the way, so this isn't lecture mode. It's hey, good, better, best. We're having guests show up very interested in CBD, and they're coming to the dinner not sampled, and they're asking, and I'm using air quotes, okay, because I'm only saying they're dumb questions because they were avoidable. They're not dumb, but they were avoidable. Oh, great presentation. Dr. Jasani was amazing. Barry Koshu's phenomenal. I'm really interested in CBD, but how do I know your product works? Well, that we could have solved that already. We could have already had them sampled sometime between inviting them to get to the dinner and then them sitting through an hour-long presentation ready to engage, ready to get involved in the business. But, oops, roadblock that we could have avoided, roadblock, they haven't been sampled. Roadblock, they hadn't seen a Zoom call. Now, if that's on them, if you've chased them around town or left samples on their front door when they weren't home and they just didn't take them, now that tells you something about them. Again, be a poker player. Be watching for people's tell. Be reading them. Well, you gave me the samples and I said I would take them. I just didn't get around to it. Matter of fact, I don't even know where they are. Can I have some more? That's telling you something. Yes, when you sent me the Zoom link, I jumped right on. I watched it on my phone. I watched part of it again. I love the samples, man. The balm's amazing. That person, too, is telling you something. One's telling you, I'm not teachable. I don't keep my word. My commitment to you is really not that important to me. And the other person's saying, I'm really intrigued in the information. I'm doing my due diligence. I did take the product that I told you I would. As a matter of fact, I'd like to get some balm. Here's my check. Can I put it on my credit card? Two different people, and you, as the CEO, president, chairman, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, you have to be able to read those people and calibrate where you spend your time. You want to spend your time with the person that says, yes, I'll watch the Zoom call, just send me the link, and then within a day or two or three, watches it. You want to be the person that says, I'd like to get you on a three-way call with the CEO, Barry Koch of the company, president of the company, Sean Baker, one of my peers, Sinley Fox, Megan, you know, Sarah Davis, Davison, I want to get you on a call, and they show up on time. That's the people you're looking for. Oh, I forgot about that call. That's not the people you're looking for. Does that mean we're not busy? No, everyone's busy. Does that mean we shouldn't have grace? Absolutely not. God knows I need more grace than most, and thank you guys for giving it to me. Be gracious. Be kind. But have healthy boundaries. You are running a company. Time is currency. Time is money. And when someone wastes 30 minutes of your time, us included, if you're hopping on these calls, and I think most of you find great value, I get wonderful feedback, particularly about the things that Barry teaches and the lessons that he builds upon week after week. But if we're wasting 30 minutes of your time, and your time is worth $20 an hour, well, you wouldn't hand me a 20 and watch me shred it in my shredder or burn it with a lighter. You would panic. Why did you burn that 20? But we'll waste time on all the wrong people doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons. Your time, I would tell you, many of you guys on the phone, your time's worth well over $20 an hour. I certainly know that Barry's is. I know that mine is. I know many of you professionals, healthcare professionals, business entrepreneurs, that's currency you don't get back. So you can make another 20. You can make another 100. You can make another 1,000. You can't get this morning back. Once it's gone, the pot is expired. And so I would just tell you guys the biggest takeaways for me today, I hope that you understand, is one, alphas, quit being so darn hard on yourself. We love you. God loves you. You're where you are today for all the right reasons. We want to partner with you and build a business. Set some goals. And if you're hitting them, pat yourself on the back. If you're missing them, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and do better. But don't get down about it. Listen to people talk about fear, whether they use the word fear or scared directly. That make it easier, right? Well, I'm scared my prospect's not going to come. I'm scared the product's not going to work. Man, those will be easier conversations. But they masquerade or they camouflage words like fear and scared with other words that mean the same thing. And be looking out. Fear is not an unhealthy thing, but it can paralyze you. It can cause you to make a number of wrong decisions in your life, both personally and professionally, and you need to be on the lookout to help people overcome their fears. Now, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is staring fear in the face and persevering anyway. Be courageous. Be strong. Understand that there is a good, better, and best model in everything that we do. Go from good to better, better to best. Remember what Paul said, yesterday was yesterday, but I lean into tomorrow. I look for what the shepherd has for me tomorrow. Always be eyes up and moving forward. And then last but not least, guys, in this business particularly, stop helping create roadblocks. Sample your people before they come to an event. Have them watch a Zoom call before they come to an event. Go pick them up if you're worried they're not going to show or show up on time. I used to literally, I had a silver Ford Expedition, and Barry and company used to, I say make fun of me, but they were laughing at my innovation. But what I would do is I would literally figure out the route and say, no, don't worry, I'm going to pick you up. And I didn't tell everybody that I was going to pick everybody else up. As far as they knew, I was just picking them up. But I would go to, let's just say, Megan's house, and I would have Sarah and Jeff and Garrett and Chance already in the car. And we made a party out of it. We'd stop at Whataburger on the way home. Now, this is a different time. I was younger, you know, but we'd stop at Whataburger at 10 o'clock at night after a meeting and driving everybody home. I was like the PTA mom, and I did business every single week. My peers, those poor people, would be standing at the window like a puppy dog wondering, well, my prospects said they were coming. I'm just watching out the window. I'm just hoping they show up. Meanwhile, I pull up with a car full of people because I gave them front door service. If they didn't want to come, they were going to tell me before I showed up at their house, hey, man, I can't make it tonight. Because otherwise, they were getting a knock on the door. Now, I'm not telling you have to be that aggressive. I'm just saying I got tired. Barry used to say, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of prospects being flaky because we're all busy people. So I took every roadblock I possibly could, up to and including if they hadn't been sampled, but I picked them up at their door and we were headed into town because this is back in the day, we were commuting from the Woodlands to I-10 and Beltway 8. So just giving you a parallel, we would spend an hour in the car together. I would sample them then. Hey, who in the car hasn't been sampled? I brought 3 or 4 sample boxes, water bottles, try this drink or try this whatever before we get to the meeting. Because Barry would ask, and I was not going to. He's tamed himself quite a bit, I want you all to know. But he would ask, hey, you guys had a chance to try the product? Which one's your favorite? And either they would say, well, I just tried it in the car, or yeah, I tried it last week, or I would be cringing if they said, well, I haven't tried any product yet, because he would give me the look, the Barry Dad look. He'd look at me and go, dude, this is your money. This is your time. You haven't sampled these people. You're already behind the eight ball. You can recover, but you've made a roadblock for yourself. So I believe you me, guys. I'm not coming at you as someone who hasn't made every mistake in the book, and I'm talking down at you or even at you. I'm sharing and confessing my own personal challenges that I had to overcome that took me from $500 a week to $5,000 a week to up to $50,000 in a month and earn seven figures. I truly believe had I known what, had I had the energy that I had back then, but the knowledge I have today, I would have earned multiple seven-figure earnings, not just over a million. I would have earned tens of millions of dollars because I now know how to streamline, how to be courageous, how not to let my fears paralyze me, and how to go out and really build the business with the simplicity and the elegance with which it was designed. I mean, our six-step marketing program could not be any more simple. And if you will just do that and duplicate that, your business will take off. So it is 9:20 on a beautiful, gloomy, blessed Monday morning here in Houston anyway. But I would just tell you guys, we appreciate you getting on the call. We appreciate you making the investment because we know that's what it is. This is an investment of your time. It's an investment in your business. And Barry and I, honestly, guys, we pray for each and every one of you by name. We hope it's an investment in you. Whatever you want to accomplish, if you want to be a better husband, you want to be a better wife, a better parent, a better grandparent, a better civil servant, a better leader in the community, we pray that all your dreams come true and that you take some of these nuggets of information and they mean more to you than WBRX. We obviously want you to have success in our industry, but we really just want you to have the success in the life that you want to craft for yourself. So with that, I would just tell you, thank you for being on the call. Thank you guys for all you do. You will be in our prayers continually. And you've got our cell phone numbers. You've got our emails. You've got our text messages. I do want to give a quick shout out to a number of you. I'm not going to do it by name because I just don't want to miss anybody. But, guys, Barry and I both had meetings on Saturday with prospects face-to-face. We've had to divide and conquer, which is a good thing. He's down south today. I'm up north because we're literally doing conference calls, Zoom calls, one-on-one lunches. I've got some folks that want to play golf. And I'm talking about people in the industry, not in our business, but we're engaged with a guy right now. I think Barry's meeting today or we're meeting tomorrow. I have to look at the schedule. But, guys, I've been in the business for 32 years, I believe he said. He's earned $17 million in network marketing, and he's come to us. He's looking for a new home. He believes it could be with WBRX, and only time will tell. But the activity is not coming from Barry and Sean. It's coming from the leaders in the field. So I thank you. I encourage you, don't let up. If you need anything from us, please reach out. We're here for you. We're excited to partner with you. And with that, we hope you have a blessed and wonderful week. Please be careful out there. If you need anything, just reach out. I'll end the call now. But thank you, guys. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, don't forget, Papa Doe. Look at WBRXglobal.com. Go to the bottom right corner of the screen. Find the star that says events. The Papa Doe information is on there. The dinner tomorrow night and then upcoming dinners through the month of February. Please go to WBRXglobal.com. Get that information. Be at the dinner with or without a prospect, but preferably with a prospect. RSVP to us. Let us know that you're coming so that we can appropriately set the room and set the food. But we'd love to have you come and, of course, bring guests, and let's just keep this train rolling. So thank you, guys. Have a great week, and we will talk to you all very soon. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, I got it to him before he was out of the athletic office. So if he was in there, I just kind of passed it on back to him. Like, wanting to say hi, I'm just like embarrassed. But is all the office aides in there? I didn't say anything here, I just kind of passed it back.
This is number
3. I know, and the new marketing is your best picture, you're going to be loud. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. But it's really big on that coffee, and I think, you know. But he's not done yet.